This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
You're listening to the best of Johanna James and Noel Clarke on FUBAR Radio.
So Doc Brown's here. Doc Brown.
Doc Brown, guys. Let's introduce.
That's the third voice you're hearing, guys.
Doc Brown. Yeah. No, I just kind of let her choose the music. I just let her know if I disapprove.
I see.
You know, he's basically just whinges.
Real positive influence.
Yeah, I'll be like, what the hell is this? Why are you chosen this?
What are you bringing to the table? Well, I'm not. I don't have any alternatives, but I'm just saying I hate your music.
Essentially, that's what happens.
You're just judging me. I like music, and I love soundtracks, and every song I play is in a movie somewhere.
Okay.
So it's related to the film industry.
Nice.
Or something. Always. And it's a big wide, you know, got a wide variety of people listening. So
yeah, but also it's the banter in it. Like, she knows I love her. So I let her pick her thing. It's an extra 10 minutes of me giving her a hard time, which people like. They email, they like it. They like the dynamic between us.
I see.
Sitting on me.
You know, sitting on you. That's a different show.
That's after 9.
So how you doing, man? What's happening?
I'm good. I'm having some much needed respite. It was kind of a couple of years there of not really resting at all. I guess because, you know, when opportunities come your way in our business, and you know how short that period of time that your candle might burn, you know, I've just been going for it. But I got off like the press junket for Ricky's film, Ricky Gervais's film.
And where did you tour?
Well, we did. We just did everywhere, but we didn't have to travel everywhere. So a lot of people came to London.
So
but
you didn't
we,
get to go to Japan or anything?
No. We dealt with all the press, but most people came to Soho Hotel.
See, I think
Hotel.
We're losing out. I think we're losing out, you know, Doc, because, you know, our friend Arnold, you know Arnold Oching?
Yes.
You know, he did The Good Lie, and he toured the world. I don't know why we can't tour the world. Like, he's in Japan, places where they don't even have black people, and Arnold is there.
That's very true. But I guess if you speak to most actors, they would tell you that that's the real sort of graft of the job that they don't necessarily look forward to, you know. But you know, these days you're contracted to that the same way you're contracted to act in the flipping
film.
I've
got three kids. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know that. And I hear that. I think the one thing I learned from it, because it's the first time I've ever done it, is that if the film is good, that job is a hell of a lot easier. Because there were some days where I wasn't even sure if I was saying the same thing twice to the same interviewer, because you were doing like 10, 15 in a row. And I just thought, wow, imagine if the film was shit. Mm. Like, that must be so hard. And that must happen every day to actors.
The listeners, like, so when Doc just said we do 10 to 15 interviews in a row, we're talking about literally, because people don't know this, we literally sit in a room and people come in back to back.
Back to back. And the biggest break you'll get is when someone will go, do you want any more water? And that's it. And like, I don't need any more water.
Or if you need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even have time for that.
And here's the interesting thing. Most of these people come in and they go, you've probably heard this all day. I've got a really original question, though. And they ask the same damn questions that we've been asked all day long. Am I lying?
That's very, very true. And I think anytime someone just comes out of left field with a question, they get the best interview. And it really makes me laugh listening to interviews or pre-records with other actors, other artists, and then when it comes back to the studio live, the host will say something along the lines of, oh yeah, I think he was a bit jet lagged, he wasn't very responsive. And I'm thinking, I'm sat there listening at home thinking, yeah, but your questions were so boring.
They're
you've
terrible.
Been hearing the same
Sorry,
shit
I'm
all day.
Just breaking my chair.
He's just trashing the studio.
I am listening,
right?
But you know what I'm saying, like, if you want to get the best out of an artist, then engage them.
Yeah,
so there's a film show on, I don't want to plug other film shows, but there's a film show on 5 Live with Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode.
I quite like them though.
And I take, well, they're big fans of you, man.
I love them.
They're
actually
big fans
Mark
of you.
Mark Kermode is my G.
Yeah, he bigs you up regular. Yeah. Anyway, when Simon's away, I take his place. You know? And the last time I was on it, I interviewed Ben Kingsley. So I was part of that junket, the other side. And I could see what the other interviewers are doing. And I just thought, I'm just like, because the BBC was saying, this is what you should say, this is what you shouldn't say. And I was like, you know what? Let me do it my way.
Yeah,
I just feel like, I don't know the guy, but I feel like I can engage him.
Yeah, and you did.
So number one, I'm not going to call him Sir Ben. I'm just going to chat to him. Yeah. And they were like, ooh, I don't know. And I was like,
did
listen.
You go, yo, Benny?
B.
hey, yo, B. BK.
You know what? I just, I obviously, I bigged up his movie. I'd seen it. So I thought, yeah, you know what? It's actually, it's a decent movie. So I don't have to lie. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I bigged up the movie, got him on side. And then I did a bit of research on him. And I didn't realize he was of mixed parentage, you know?
Yes.
So I said, you know what? Like, I've found, like, as an actor, having a mixture of cultures in my family, it's informed me on, like, it's given me, I don't want to say a universal voice, but it's made me, open me up from a young age to very different experiences, which I think has informed my skills as an actor. What do you think about that, coming from a biracial background? And you should have seen his eyes lit up.
Yeah.
His eyes just lit up and he was fully engaged. And then from that point on in the interview, I swear down, you can look this up on the iPlayer or whatever, he goes, see, the thing about you and I, Ben, the thing about people like us is we are social chameleons, you know, and the thing about you and I, people like me, people like you.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's getting this interview today.
Of course not. Of course
nobody.
Good impression.
I'm very proud of it. But, you know, it just goes to show.
Yeah.
One small thing that's just sort of off.
100%.
Just out of left field. You're going to engage an artist.
Because Joanna does that, and we try to educate our young listeners, or not young, but our listeners, that a lot of them want to get into the business.
Yeah.
If you ever become someone who's interviewing talent, you know, always look for a different angle. Don't just go in with the same questions. Try and, you know, like Doc just said there, he found a way to engage Ben Kingsley and probably got the best interview out of everyone. And I think it's not just a cynical thing of just trying to get the best interview. That should be standard practice anyway. It's about just trying to be interested and understand that these people could have had 20 or 30 people in that
day. And also think genuinely about a conversation that you would be interested in.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about when you see your mates, you're not going to ask them the same stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're going to want a fresh, interesting conversation every time you see your mates. So
hey, Bill,
think about it like
that. How was that packet of crisps, Bill? John just asked me that. Well, I'm asking you again, just
answer. I find hiding alcohol in my underwear, that always is a nice icebreaker for my interviews.
Yeah.
I don't have any right now.
She says.
Here we go. Whiskey.
Yeah.
We're talking like airplane miniatures here.
Yeah, it's kind of like been my little thing when I do junkets. If I'm interviewing celebrities, I'll like whip out just to break the ice, and or do something. Yeah, just do something completely wacky.
Yeah,
well, I mean that would,
and it works.
Yeah,
she's got that down. You've been doing pretty well with that, actually.
Yeah, I've been doing a couple. Or or do like Freudian slips or things like that. So it's quite fun.
Yeah, because they're always like, Did she just
wake him up a bit?
Or people, they think I look quite, you know, nice and innocent, and then I'll just like, I went in, my first ever interview was with Marlon Wayans for 50 Shades of Black, and like I went in and was like, hello, hello, and I thought he was like great, another, you know, interview, and I was like, so 50 Shades of Grey was good, is Black better? And then he looked at it and then went I see where we're going. And then, like, our interview just went off on another level of sexual innuendo.
There you go. Some lessons.
So tell me, how did you find the whole life on the road? Because I'm assuming, and forgive me if I'm wrong, you know, I'm not always up on it. You know, it's like when you work in this business, you don't always see your peers work all the time. That's your biggest project to date, right?
Without a doubt. You know, I mean, my work on TV was getting more developed with each job, which is nice. You know, I kind of make a point of trying to do something that I haven't done before and push myself. So I just completed probably my second sort of big kind of mainstream drama, which was a series for ITV1 called Brief Encounters. And, you know, I had the opportunity to play a character over six episodes who was really going through some shit, and it was just like, it was such a beautiful opportunity for me, because I've always felt that I've been able to do it, but as soon as you become accustomed to comedy or you're seen as somebody who does comedy, a lot of time you're not trusted with these kind of dramatic roles. So I'd done that, but I always knew, I'd known for a couple of years that the Ricky movie was on the cards, because we work closely together outside of the movie world, and have done for about 3.5 years now, you know. Wow. I've been writing together, and
I didn't know that. That's amazing. Yeah.
And in 2013, we did a sketch based on the two characters from the movie
I've seen that,
for comic relief. And since then, we've been talking about putting a movie together. So it was a different experience to all the other acting work I've done, because obviously all the other work I've been, you know, auditioning for and just trying to get involved, you know, whereas the movie, I was there from the inception.
So did you write on the movie as well?
Yeah.
So you've got co-written credit or?
No, the way it's done is like, everything is written and directed by Ricky, which is kind of understandable because it's his baby.
His brand,
but
yeah,
the way Ricky works is similar to Larry David or to Christopher Guest, in that he creates scenes and allows looseness for the actors to contribute.
Yeah.
But I was there from a blank page and I was contributing written stuff from the very beginning.
Fantastic.
For my character and for our scenes together.
I guess I was
hoping for a co-writing credit, but you have to search pretty far down the credits to find any reference to it.
I think it's cool, I like being the underdog, I'm
always the underdog, and I think when you see, I'm always the underdog, that's true. I think when you see the movie and you see what my character's doing, I think it's kind of clear that
Only one person could have written that. For people who haven't seen the film, what is your character? Who do you play within
the? Okay, so the film sort of, it's a contrivance. It's a mock documentary. It's a contrivance that the film crew are picking up on David Brent's life 12 years later. Years later, after the original documentary, The Office, and finding out where he is now. And where he is now is very troubled. He's been through therapy. He's had a nervous breakdown. And he's come out the back of that and decided that what he's going to do is spend every penny that he's got on trying to become the rock star that he always felt he could be. So that's kind of the conceit. And then my character, I play a guy that he saw at an open mic, a rapper that he saw at an open mic that he agrees to manage, and then sort of just steps all over his fledgling career, forces him to come on tour with him with this awful, you know, rock band, and it's a kind of a buddy movie. There's a fish out of water element to it as well, and it's two guys who really shouldn't be together but are, and they sort of learn to go on.
What do you think's in the air this year in terms of like the music scene, the quotation mark urban music scene seems to come back, and then films like Life on the Road, which is Ricky Gervais, David Brent after 12 years.
Yep.
Bridget Jones.
Yes.
Which is Bridget Jones after
12 years.
After 12 years. Brotherhood as well. It's come back as a film after 10 years. I mean, do you think that, you know, and I know I'm responsible for one of those and you are partly as well, but do you think that we're running out of ideas, or do you think that bringing back these brands is something that is a good thing for cinema, because they've all come out and they've all done numbers? So like, you know, what's your take on it?
Because Bridget Jones has done amazing.
I've really enjoyed it.
I'll be honest, I didn't see that coming.
No, I did.
But I think I always believe if there's genuinely a story to tell, then why not?
Yeah.
I've always thought that.
Yeah.
Because I think you can tell the difference. I think the audience can tell the difference when it's like, well, we had to do another one, otherwise the box set wouldn't have really been a box set. Do you know what I mean?
So, you
look at a film like Creed. I expected Creed to be awful.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty much widely accepted that that was a great return to form.
It's a great film.
And if you really analyze it, it is just Rocky all over again, like with a different character.
Yeah.
But it works. And I think sometimes when there's a tried and tested format that works, but more importantly that people love elements within that format, if you can honestly tell some kind of a new story around that, then why the hell not?
Yeah, but you know what I mean as well, because obviously I know why I did it, but it feels like it's not just coincidence. There must have been a feeling in the air of people going, do you know what, we should bring these back, you know what I mean? And they're all coming out of the same.
Yeah,
and our films have done numbers as well, just they're not the same budget as Bridget Jones.
No, of course. with our movie, the decision was made based on sort of general feedback, because we put these characters together for comic relief, and we just waited for the video to go online and see what the feedback was like, and it was crazy. I mean, we thought it might be good, we felt what we did was funny, but it was way better than we imagined, and we sort of based our initial decisions of self-confidence
on that.
The bigger question of whether we're running out of ideas or not, who knows? I always think it's sort of like peaks and troughs, you know, with movies. There's always a period where everything's based on a book as well, you know, everything's on a novel. Like, where are the original screenplays? You know, who are the guys that are just come up with a great idea and it is a movie? Because, you know, films often get compared unfavorably to a book, and understandably so, because you can get more detail and emotion out of a book time. But I do think it's peaks and troughs, because there's always something around the corner that comes up and changes the game, you know?
Cool. And we have done that.
Right, guys, I want to play. I've got a challenge to bring you guys. We're going to go Facebook Live in a minute. So I'm going to quickly get the game ready. Yeah. We've had a lot of emails coming in being like, oh my gosh, Noel and Doc together, this has been my dream.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
It's amazing. Can you guys work together? Amazing.
Martha in Labrador Grove. Yeah, Martha.
We're just going to take a second.
What kind of dream, Martha? What kind of dream? That's what I want to know.
I bet you want to know. Right, we'll be right back, and we're going to play Cards Against Humanity with Noel Clark and Doc Brown.
FUBAR Radio presents
When We Waffle with Terry Minor, Kat Fox and Laurie Peters.
Wagwan, you bad stuff. Let me tell you a little thing about myself. I'm a bad man. Listen to FUBAR Radio at 12 o'clock on Thursdays for When We Waffle with Laurie Peters, Kat Fox and Terry Minor. It's a great ripping yarn. Wagwan!
Every Thursday,
When We Waffle with Terry Minor, Kat Fox and Laurie Peters.
From 12 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, we're back. We're going to play. I was just trying to explain the rules, and I thought I might as well explain the rules to everyone who's listening.
This is
Cards Against Humanity. It's one of the best, like, pub games or anything for a night out. It's a game of wit. I'm just going to test your wit and see how funny you are, because you guys both write comedy, so let's see who's funniest.
I don't write comedy.
That's not how I describe Noel Clark, but yeah.
I don't write comedy. Okay, so it's white cards and black cards.
Okay.
I'm going to go first round. So normally, you person who plays the black cards, it's the first person who pooped that day, the last person who's pooped that day. So, but we're going to forget that, and I'm going to just
poop.
It's the actual rules of the game.
I don't play shit, you know.
And then what what am I supposed to do?
So the point is, for example, I will read a black card, which is normally a statement, and on the white cards, you have got funny answers.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to read out a statement. We'll do a mock one, which is in the new Disney Channel original movie, Hannah Montana struggles with blank for the first time, and you guys have got to look through your cards, find the, what you think is the funniest filler.
Okay.
You
so
hand it to me. Yeah, I
all
read
right.
it out, and then whoever I think wins the funniest answer.
I can look at these. Oh,
I didn't realize I could look.
Yeah,
at
you
all
could
of
look.
Them.
You could
okay,
look.
Great.
Okay, so for the first round, that was we'll put that one down. I'll pull out another black card.
I've laid out mine. I've got 10 here.
Yeah, I'm laying them out now.
Okay, so this is the first one. Ready?
Yes.
So instead of coal, Santa now gives the bad children blank. What?
Who's going first?
Just submit to me.
I'd go for horse meat.
Okay, well, you can hand it to me.
Oh, I give it to you, do
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And then hand me yours. And then I'll go, instead of coal, Santa now gives the bad children horse meat. Or instead of coal, Santa now gives the children a middle-aged man on roller skates.
That's easily that
okay.
one.
Okay. No, you win that worst round.
I thought I might with that one.
Okay. So the second one. What's there a ton of in heaven? I'm going to give you some more white cards. So that
okay,
you can,
thank you.
You can be creative there. Okay, Noel, we've got Noel's in there. So I'm not going to look at what it is. I'm going to wait till I read it out to give you guys fair... Doc, what's your...
I'm liking this game.
I'm going to go for
it's
that
so
one.
Funny. Okay, so what's there a ton of in heaven? Authentic Mexican cuisine.
What's That's there hard a- to come by.
What's there a ton of in heaven? An erection that lasts for longer than 4 hours.
That's even harder to come by.
I think the erection is going to win that round.
I think you've got that one.
You got a round each. Well done, well
okay,
done.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so the next round. What helps Obama unwind? What do you think?
I'm going to go for that one.
Okay, got Doc's. Yeah, I'm not looking what it is.
This is kind of more political than it is funny. But
okay. What helps Obama unwind? Sexy pillow fights.
Okay.
What helps Obama unwind? Not giving a shit about the third world.
Political, see?
Okay, no. No one wins that one.
It is
with
easier.
A low blow.
It is easier.
Okay. What gets better with age?
Hmm.
Let's have a look.
Oh man, this is disgusting.
Is it? I'm laughing already. I don't even know what it is. Okay.
My one is technically true, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mine is 100% not true, and anyone who agrees with it needs to see a doctor.
What gets better with age? Child beauty pageants.
That's class.
That's dark, though.
And, it's dark, but class.
What gets better with age? Concealing a boner.
It does.
Yeah, because
they're both true.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days where you get up halfway through your lesson in class and it's just there.
Bro, I used to be able to hang a wet beach towel on my shit, and now it just drops to the ground. Like,
I feel it. I know.
I bet you do.
Seriously, those are the days. Right, next one. Okay, what would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? Okay, I've got another selection from the dark. So what would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? Noel, you gotta pick one.
These are all shit, man.
Yeah. That's the problem, mate. Once you've been through the first few rounds.
There you go.
I can give you. Okay, so what would Grandma find
disturbing? No, this one.
Oh, okay, you're right, you can change it. What would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? Goblins.
Goblins.
Yeah.
What would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? The clitoris.
Yeah. I bet Grandma's never found that shit.
Depends on when she was born, I think.
Do you know what?
If she's born before 1970, she's
one of those hook grannies from now where she's like 37.
Oh, yeah, she knows what that is
all about.
When I first played this game, I played it with my younger brother, and we all played it, and he got that, and he went, "What's the clitoris?" And
we burst out,
and we were like, "Google it, mate."
This is a problem. This is a problem. How old is your brother?
He was about 17 at the time.
This is a problem, you see. You young boys don't know where the details are.
The goods are.
Mm. Yeah.
You gotta research that.
Old man like me can take you a girl.
I can't say that I knew when I was 17.
Of course you did. Come on, doctor.
I can't say that I knew.
I know.
Yeah, man, I knew. My mum was a nurse. I'd be reading them anatomy books when she's at work.
Nice. I had a book in my house that was called The Breast, but there was nothing about the clitoris in there. It was very scientific. It was just about the breast, and that was.
Just one breast or
early
like
volumes. No, it was Bob the breast.
It was about Mr. Men, but it was called the breast.
I guess that gave it sort of gravitas.
Now, my mum, as soon as she's, "I'm going to work, darling." All right, mum, bam, anatomy book.
I was the same with the breast. That's quite a shame
that all you had was a little scientific.
No, I also had the Littlewoods catalogue.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
fine.
I had the next catalogue.
Yeah.
The underwear section.
Boom. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There used to be this girl in there, and she had these pubes, and you could see them through her pants and everything. And I used to go nuts, man.
Such an innocent time when you think about it.
Innocent.
You know what I mean?
It was so innocent.
The Littlewoods catalogue.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, we're out of time.
Oh, man.
I think you won that round. You won that.
Early masturbation. Yeah. Doc Brown, no Clark.
Yes.
Tune in next week.
Thanks so much for coming on again. Pleasure. Amazing. We're going to go for our last song.
I missed you last time. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to go for our last song of the day, which is from the Deadpool soundtrack again. There was two that I liked on there.
Awesome.
So thanks for tuning in, everyone, today. We'll see you next week.
What's
for
the song?
It's Calendar Girl.
Great.
I will save you.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
King is back.
I love my calendar girl. The year off fine.
February,
you're my little Valentine.
March,
I'm gonna march you down the aisle.
April,
you're the Easter bunny when you smile. Yeah, yeah, my heart's in a whirl. I love my little calendar girl.
Every day
of the year. Junior prom, like a firecracker, I'm aglow. When you're on the beach, you steal the show. Yeah, yeah, my heart's in a whirl.
16, Romeo and Juliet on Halloween.
November,
I'll give thanks that you belong to me.
December,
you're the present beneath my Christmas tree.
Best of Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Johanna James, Noel Clark for yes. FUBAR Radio. We're with The Big Show.
By the way, did you know I'm number two in the box office right now? With my
you love tooting that horn,
just
don't you?
I'm just
give me a high five.
You know,
if I was number two in the box office, I'd toot my horn,
yeah,
too.
Man, yeah. I wanted to start. Well, I'll let the lady start. I'll let Johanna start. What do you want to start with?
Now it's in your lap, so it better be a good question. I'm an Aquarius. I like long walks on the beach. That's a damn lie because I don't like to walk anywhere. So, yeah,
but. Well, I want to know what your next movie project is.
It's funny. I've done. I'm represented by APA out in LA. Jeff Witches.
Me too.
Okay.
APA.
Fantastic.
Another one.
So Jeff's my agent. We've done some stuff. I've done a couple of readings for Marvel. I don't know if I look anything like the characters, but getting into that Marvel family, you got to get introduced to them. They got, you know, and you know, the more reads you do for more casting directors, the more they get to know you, the more they get to learn you. It's hard because right away you're typecasted. They look at you and, oh, well, you're a big, intimidating guy. Well, yeah, but also I can throw down. I can act. So you got to find the right opportunity. I have a TV series that may be coming up this fall that I'm really excited about. That'd be a good opportunity for me. And we're just considering some other projects and seeing what's going on. Okay. You know, it's a lot of your talent. It's a lot of who you know and how you meet them and how do you get to know them because they're going to take a risk on you. Because you got to figure it's a business venture. They're taking a risk on you to pull this character off and enhance this script or enhance this character, you know, and there's so many great actors out there that are applying for the same job. It's a toss up.
Is it something that a lot of the WWE superstars are glad about now where you have not only WWE Studios with Michael Luisi, but you have the fact that a lot of the stars like The Rock and Stone Cold earlier, now John and yourself and are crossing over into movies?
I think who's really transcending that for us has been Rock. Because I remember 20 years ago, nobody would talk to you in Hollywood. You know, they just wouldn't do it because you were a wrestler that didn't want anything to do with it, and rightly so.
Yeah. There was only very few, wasn't it?
There was very few, but they weren't, you know, you weren't getting involved in any really big projects. Yeah. You know what I mean? Most of the projects that the guys did back then were they had friends and producers that produced a movie for them to do, you know. The difference is now is Rock has really gone out there and paved the way for us in showing our work ethic, our willingness to work with other people, our commitment, which is ingrained by us. I don't think people understand unless you've been around WWE and been backstage and seen the work level that our talent's capable of.
We have done that.
You know what I mean? And you look at guys like Miz, okay? Now, Miz is a smart ass on TV, but Miz is one of the hardest working guys you'll ever meet. Yeah. Very dedicated, very friendly, never complains about anything. You strap a dump truck to his back and tell him to walk it 3 blocks. He'll be like, okay, and he'll go do it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of work attitude that you know in Hollywood is very important. You need to get along with your co-stars, your fellow actors, your director, be respectful, show up on time and work hard, know your lines.
Yeah.
Our guys are going to do that. You know, you've seen the success that Rock's had. You see the success that Batista's had in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, amazing.
Batista knocked it out of the park.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, Dave was one of those guys that, you know, made a difficult transition where he was really popular at the time. He was one of the top heels we had, but he felt in his gut, I need to make this transition now. And Dave did it. So, yeah, and he started with a couple of small films, and then, you know, he did well in those, and he hit a home run with Guardians.
Yeah.
So when those kind of guys are proven entities that deliver – you're going to look in the same pond maybe for another potential, and it makes it easier to take a risk.
Yeah.
So that's the boat I'm in now. Yeah, I've been the Big Show for 20-something years. That's cool. But now I need to go in, sit down, meet with these people, let them know that I'm a human being, that I've got experiences, and I can give you A to Z, then find the right part they're willing to take a risk on because it's a risk and an investment.
I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm black.
Okay, can someone talk to me about this? Because I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah, right? I know, right?
Anyway.
And you are, aren't you?
Yeah, dude. And,
Jesus.
Something even more shocking, she's a woman.
What?
Right? Really?
Yeah.
So, oh, God.
Actually, I got to be honest with you. I knew that right away. Sorry.
My point being, how do you guys, and WWE is great at it, But how do you guys, and what sort of advice do you give to people that have differences? You know,
oh, like diversity. I think anybody that's different, that brings a uniqueness. We're all unique our own way, whether we're black, white, short, tall, fat, skinny.
So I guess I'm saying, how do we teach children to embrace that, do you think?
We all are different. And you have to embrace your differences, embrace your gifts. Yeah. You know what I mean? If anyone puts a limit on you and says you can't do something, you're the one that's making a mistake by listening to them. Yeah. If you want to be a WWE superstar, there's opportunities here for you to be a superstar. If you want to be part of this program, there's opportunities for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're gay or lesbian. It doesn't matter of ethnicity. We are actively recruiting all over the world, from China, Japan, South Africa, Australia, Europe. We want diversity because mm-hmm. we're a worldwide product.
Yeah.
We want diversity. Diversity makes things better. If you have all carbon copy the same thing, it becomes very stale. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is life stale? Life's not stale. Diversity is what all the little chemicals and the neurons, electrons, everything bouncing off each other. That's what makes things happen because everything's unique and diverse, and that's what makes the magic happen. That's and great. You know, the more diversity you have, the more energy you have flowing, the better the project is.
Yeah. I think it's good for people because you guys have your Don't Be a Bully, Be a Star campaign.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for listeners and people to hear you say that because obviously like, we know everyone is different, but I think sometimes young people have a hard time.
Well, another thing too is that part of the Be a Star program, they have, you know, guidelines and building their chapters. But one thing when I talk to the kids about how important it is for them, hey, if somebody's being bullied, step up and help. Contact a respected adult, a teacher, guidance. Yeah. The other thing is too is a lot of things we overlook in those bully situations is, yes, the kid being bullied is a victim, but also the child doing the bullying is really crying for help.
Yeah.
How many times do we know in those situations that a bully is really crying for help? Yeah. There's something going on somewhere.
Whatever it is, this
kid is emotionally acting out because something is troubling that child, because that's not natural human behavior. If anything, we're about pulling together and fighting for the underdog and rising above. We fought disease and famine and thousands of years of evolution to get to where we are. So if something's against the norm and there's this bully, then what's going on in this kid's life? What's happening in this kid's life? So by telling, you're not getting the bully in trouble. In all actuality, in situations, you're helping the bully find out what's wrong. And if you get it early enough, maybe you can correct this young man's path or young woman's path, and they go on to a better professional existence.
Very good point. I wanted to ask you a little bit about behind the scenes, because we've come
I am not walking around in my underwear. It's not happening.
Damn it. No,
you pervert.
We often come back after a show. We watch a show.
With the amazing Mr. Sean Selman.
With Mr. Sean Selman, yes. And then we luckily get to come back and meet you guys. But we were like amazed. We're like, it feels just like a film set back here. You've got roadies and everyone's half in costume and like the family-ness that I can sense.
Yeah, it's that way. Yeah.
Are there any kind of like back behind the scenes stories or anything?
People ask me all the time, says, oh, do you really like so-and-so? Do you really hate so-and-so? It's like any other job. Do you like everybody you work with? No. But you're professional and you do your job. But I would say all of us mainly, there are going to be heated rivals here and there because we're all competitive. That's going to happen naturally. We're competitive individuals. But when you spend the amount of time that we spend together, 4 or 5 days a week, 290 days a year, all over the world, you got a family. You're going to know when, you know, so-and-so's mad, or boyfriend, she's not having a good day, or you know,
it's like fine with your brother or sister.
It's weird because you can tell when people are having troubles and maybe they need a hug or maybe they need to talk or maybe they need to be left alone.
Yeah.
So, and you learn to, and most all of us are really good. I'm sure you guys are the same way being actors. Your therapy is your work. So when you get into your work, it's your cleansing. You might be upset, angry, pissed off, sad, depressed. But once you get into your performance, afterwards, you're like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I think that's what all of us, we function well at, is we're able to take our frustrations, our stresses, and we get to release that energy in a positive way out there in our performance. Yeah. And I'm not talking about yelling or screaming, but just even the fact of performing in front of the fans and giving them that match or that segment, that's the awesome feeling that you can't trade for anything.
I mean,
people talk about skydiving. I've never skydived. I'm not insane. I'm not falling out of a perfectly good airplane for nothing. It's not happening. Tom Cruise hanging on the side of an airplane.
Yeah.
Good for him. I don't have the balls to do it. Not happening.
I'm with you, man. How many black people you see get killed by sharks?
No.
We don't do that shit. How many black people die on Everest? None, because we ain't climbing mountains in the cold.
Okay, wait a minute. No, LL Cool J stabbed a shark in the eye.
Yeah,
he lived.
You're listening to the best of Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, then and now. We're going to play then and now, okay?
Yeah.
Favorite film when you were young? I'm not insinuating that you're old, but you know.
No, I got it. I know where you're going. You didn't have to throw that
younger.
In.
Bastard.
When I was younger, I think I had two films that I love. Of course, I loved Star Wars when I was younger. Yes. I was blown away by Star Wars. Blown away by Star Trek. I remember watching with my dad Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Wow, yeah.
And that was one of those kind of movies that was intellectually so far above me for that age.
Yeah.
But I just remember getting into the movie and be like, it took me away. Even as a kid, it held my interest.
Yeah. I was a Goonies man. Remember Goonies?
Oh, yeah. I was
hey, you guys.
I know, but I look like the Goonies, so I'm skipping over that.
No, you don't.
There's a lot to say now. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, actually.
I could be the Goonie. Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Favorite film now, you think?
Favorite film now? Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, is
number two in the box office.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. I've had some films that I absolutely love, and it's funny. I tend to go towards like Eastwood. My favorite of all time is Unforgiven.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite films because of the character was so awesome. Because even though he's there and he's trying to change his path. But he's done Outlaw Josie Wales and Two Mules for Sister Sarah. So you had no problems accepting the fact of this character's past, that William Moody was a bad son of a gun who tried to change his ways. And then Gene Hackman was so amazing being that bully and the way he went after English Bob and, you know, that the whole synergy they were doing there where Gene Hackman was the aggressor. He was the intimidating one. He was the bigger alpha.
Yeah.
And then Eastwood's sick. He's got the flu. You know, the kid's trying to be like Eastwood, but still has a soul. So, you know what I mean? Even though he shot the guy in the toilet, you find out that he's never killed anybody before, and he realizes he doesn't have that black heart to do it. So you see that human side, that human gambit. And then when Morgan Freeman gets killed and Eastwood has the drink, you see the change. I got goosebumps now. You see the change come over his character where it's almost like, I'm done. I'm not playing around anymore.
Yeah.
And then you see how things change where Hackman, who was the bully, now ends up like all bullies. He's on the receipt because he ran into a bigger alpha.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you saw the fact that Eastwood didn't have any remorse.
Yeah.
He didn't have any soul. It was just, you're dealing with death and death has showed up and called your number. And I love that movie for that. So that was my examination of Unforgiven. It was a little deep. That's it.
Previous film, what's your favorite previous film that you've done?
Film that I've done, actually my best work, not that it's that extensive. I love the work I just did with the Soska sisters in Vendetta. It was kind of a quick movie. We shot it in 3 weeks, which is fast. That was an opportunity. I worked with Dean Cain, who I don't know if you guys know Dean, but he is absolutely amazing. I had my first death scene, and we were running out of daylight, and it was the last shot of the day that we were doing that day when I die. We have one, basic because of lighting, we have one shot at
being
it.
There.
One shot at it, you know. And I've never died before. I've got, you know, all this stuff to do. And so Dean ends up slicing my throat while I'm on top of him about to shoot him. He's got a knife hidden and he cuts my throat. So I got to grab my throat and bleed and then fall off of him. Because at the end, because I had beaten his wife and killed her by hand and tortured him, I've been the bully. Now that my throat's cut and I'm bleeding out, the tables have turned.
Yeah.
He's going to be above me, put a bullet in my head, kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I get to be afraid and vulnerable, which I haven't been the whole movie. Which, you know, as an actor, that art to go from to afraid, it's cool.
Yeah.
But as I'm on top of him dying, I start to fall off and he holds my hip. So I'm wrestling. I get it. He's giving me the office.
Yeah.
And then when the time's right, he pulls on my jeans a little bit and then I fall off of it. So then we finished the shot and the girls were like, oh, that was awesome. That was perfect time. I was like, my man took care of me,
but he
was that kind of giving actor. Like, it was a prison movie, and, you know, it was low budget, but we did what we could do with it. But he did all of his own stunts. He took the beatings every day, and it's really amazing because he set the tone of how a good lead actor sets a tone.
100%.
Nice to everybody, shows up on time, can-do attitude, works his ass off. And the set was so amazing, the way everybody worked hard. Because the lead actor set that tone. And that was one thing I learned right away. Like, that's the kind of actor I want to be, a guy that works with everybody, that says hello to everybody, that works well with everybody. And, you know, if you do have an attitude, You do have an actually, you have it at home in the hotel room by yourself, and you kick the shit out of the pillow at home. I enjoyed work with him so far the best. I mean, every experience is unique. When I did Knucklehead, Michael Watkins was directing that. Right. My first director.
Was Knucklehead the one where your character was a bit?
I was a bit. I'd grown up in an orphanage. It's not like Tropic Thunder. I didn't go full.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
Michael
Watkins, my first director, meeting with him. I meet Michael Watkins. He's, you know, Easy Rider. He's done all these amazing works, NYPD Blue, and all these shows. He's a hell of a director. He's a little crazy, but a hell of a director. Yeah. He comes in with a straight face. He says, "I got two rules: know your lines and show up on time." Yeah. And he walks out.
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's it? Oh my God!" So I know this script. I know the DNA of this script. We didn't have a title for the movie. It was called The Big Show Project. Yeah, we didn't even have a title for it yet. So then when I get on set with him, I spit the lines out, and he comes over and he says, "Listen, you know the character. If some of the lines stain your teeth," which is a great line, he says, "Put it on how Walter would say it. It's a be Walter.
Yeah,
you know Walter."
Right.
So then he was so kind. I was like, okay, where's that crazy guy? About 3 weeks ago. This is cool. But with him, I learned a 1T, 2T, 3T, 4T shot.
Yeah.
He taught me all the Little Creeps and Mickey Rooney and the Martini. Like, I learned a lot of the lingo because I just sat next to him at the camera and learned. Right.
So speaking of that, do you feel like, is there a director that you would absolutely love to work with? And learning so much from, as you just described, do you think directing one day, whether it be WWE programming or whether it be movies, is something that you'd like to go into?
I don't think I would have any aptitude whatsoever for being a director at this stage. I am so green. Yeah. I wouldn't even want to try to venture into that field. Directors are amazing because they actually picture the entire movie in their heads. That's an ability that I don't know how if I have to be able to do. The relationships they have with their crew to motivate their crew. Yeah. Which, you know, a movie is based on its crew. You live and die by your work efficiency of your crew. Okay. I don't think I'd want to undertake that pressure. You know what I mean? As far as directors, there's so many great directors out there. But, you know, you have your dream director. Yeah, I'd love to be directed by Clint Eastwood someday. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'd rather have I wouldn't mind having a donut and a cup of coffee with Clint Eastwood. Yeah. I wouldn't mind scrubbing Clint Eastwood's toilet. I'm fine with whatever. I just want to hang out with Clint Eastwood.
Near Clint Eastwood.
Scrub my toilet.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and do it, sir. I'll do that, sir. But, you know, I mean, you know, that's one of those kind of things where you want to work. I mean, I'm open-minded. I want to work with anybody that will help me become the best actor that I can be, get the best performance that I can, and willing to take a risk on me. Because here's the thing. I'm very coachable. I've been an athlete my whole life.
Yeah.
So I'm used to running offenses, running defenses, whatever matches we need out there, hitting time cues. So I'm used to following directions and instruction. And I think that's one thing that I do bring to the table for a big guy is I'm very open with my other actors. I feed off the energy of my other actors that help me put me where I need to be. And when you get that synergy flowing, I'm getting the cusp of it now, but you can really see where great actors have that magic and it's done right. So that's the entertaining part for me. That's the part that I want to be a part of. And someday, maybe get into some live theater acting and stuff, which is kind of like wrestling, but theater I think would be good at some point.
One of the best theater shows we ever see.
Yeah.
Aww. Thanks. Wendy Mallard's a good buddy of mine. She was in Knucklehead. She talked to me all the time. What was the movie she wanted me to redo? Of Mice and Men.
Wanted
me. She says that would be a good one for me. And she said I would like theater acting because I'd have the, you know, when you're in front of a crowd, you have the instant gratification of your audience.
Yeah.
Films is completely different because you don't know what you did. And there's some editor that's picking something that he thinks is good. Because sometimes you watch and go, that other one was better.
Because
I don't watch – I'm not a watch my dailies kind of guy. Because I wouldn't know if I did something right or wrong. Yeah. Anyway, I trust the director and my other actors and my gut. And then watching again is not going to help anything but keep me up all night, question it, you know?
But honestly, man, you know, this is like theater. I've done theater. You know, I've done theater. Did theater for years before I started making movies and directing movies and blah, 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 blah. If you think, you know, you're saying I'd love to do theater, you guys are doing it and doing it well. So
fantastic.
I think you're probably a lot closer than you actually think.
And you're performing tonight, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Big guy wearing spandex. Yay!
And we will
spot
there.
You. We will watch you.
Good deal. That's it.
Man, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations on your movie.
Thank you. Fantastic.
I look forward to catching it.
Yes.
I'll be back in the States next week, so we'll check it out.
We'll see.
But thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
This has been
FUBAR.
so hard. Think about it every day and night.
It's Johanna James, and this week
we have TJ in the building. Yes, Tej World himself. So I'm filling in for Noel Clark, as he's in Toronto Film Festival.
He's gone off to Toronto Film Festival because lovely. Brotherhood has got into the festival, which is amazing. I know.
Go on, Noel,
get into that festival.
Have it. Tell Drake I said hello.
Right, guys, we have in the studio today. We have got two members of the Mandem on the Wall. Third one is on the way.
He's flying down.
So, welcome, guys. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
So, if you'd like to introduce which one's which.
Okay, so this voice that you can hear now is Javan Wade.
Yeah. And this voice, the slender and fine one, is D. Carte.
Also the lying one. Clearly.
I like it. That's brilliant.
And you guys are members of Wall of Comedy, Mandem on the Wall, and also Wall of Comedy. If you could explain to the listeners, in case they're not sort of educated, what that is.
In case they live in a hole.
Sure, literally an internet
I'll take Madam, you take Wall Comedy.
Yeah, cool.
So Madam on the Wall is an online series about three characters: Failure, played by myself; Younger Baker, played by D; and Younger Baby Tiny Whiny, played by Purcell. And it's about three what do you want to call them, hoodlums, hood rats,
something
like that, who basically sit on a wall every single day and just kind of tell stories about their everyday lives. And we started that about 5 years ago. About 30 million views deep. And yeah, man, we're heading out.
Was it YouTube or was it?
It was YouTube.
YouTube, but it ended up on the telly as well. The characters ended up on a show called Youngers.
Okay. So you played those characters in that program?
Yeah, so they just sucked our characters, man.
Yeah.
Nicked them, man. Nicked them.
Well, at least they didn't get someone else to play you in that program. That could have been deep.
Yeah, that would have been done.
So where is the wall actually based? Let's get some inside info. Yeah, where is
geographical
the
location?
Geographical location. Or where are they meant to be from? Are they meant to be from
the UN? They're, do you know what?
Yeah, go on.
Generally speaking, the characters are not really from a specific place. They're just kind of generic, and we try to keep it as generic as possible. But in terms of real terms, we're all from South, innit?
Yes, so, and where is the actual wall?
The first wall. The first wall is in the borough of Lewisham.
Yeah. Which is where I'm from. I'm from Brockley.
Brockley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's nice. So got some inside info.
It should be like
one of those tour guide books.
They should
like
put a plaque on the wall.
Yeah, it should be. Do you know what I'm saying? Like tour to South London. Okay, yeah.
That's huge.
I want commission if people start paying.
Yeah.
I want beef eaters standing by the wall and stuff like that as well.
Fully. No, because it's like the Great Wall of China, and then you've got the
wall.
The
Great Wall of the Man. Yeah,
exactly what I'm thinking. They can both be seen from space.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the Wall of Comedy. That's like a comedy platform. It's huge on Facebook.
Oh, I love that. I love it. Guys, please go and watch Wall of Comedy. If you are bored or unhappy, you broke up with your missus, or you're just coming from a funeral, go and cheer yourself up.
Or you're just at home high.
that's like 70% of our audience.
Yeah.
Stoners. You're scrolling, you're getting yourself into a hole. But yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, so it's just a comedy platform. It hosts a wide range of comedy talent online. It's got millions of views. What's it on now?
It's on 2.5 million likes, aka followers, and between 200 to 300 million views per month.
And so, do you guys manage, like, are you managing the page, or do you just put content on the page? Like, how do you? Is it a business now?
It's
kind of a big deal now, Joanna. Yeah. It's a little bit of a big deal.
Okay, it's huge.
Is it turned into like Facebook? It's just there's not just a Zuckerberg.
There's a bunch of Zuckerberg. I love that. There's a bunch of. I'm trying to think of an acronym for
a team.
It's a team. Yeah,
a squad.
There's a bunch of bricks which create that wall.
Yes!
That's it. Tetris.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
Tetris analogy. I like.
Yes.
So yeah, we have a full team who who work with us and help us to run a page. And
brilliant.
Yeah, we didn't really do much. We just kind of came up with it.
Nice. Have you got an office now?
Yeah.
You do,
man. Yeah.
You're gonna expand it and do like they do on Facebook. They've got I think the Facebook offices on the Google offices. They've got like table tennis and
that's
games
what we want, man. Yeah.
You got all that stuff.
Yeah.
Can I come down and jam?
All of that.
We ain't got that stuff yet.
We ain't got it yet.
We're gonna do that.
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
When you do, let me know. I want to come around and play in it.
Yeah. We're gonna come around and get whooped.
Yeah.
What, a table tennis?
Table tennis.
I swear, in a past life, I was Chinese.
But did you go? Did you go youth club though?
Exactly.
Bro, I went youth club.
I
toured youth
clubs. But I'm talking about the youth clubs where the rubber was peeled off.
I used to have to play with my hand, bro.
Oh, okay.
You know them way there, like backhands with the real backhand.
Okay, so you never reached foot levels. Yeah?
No, all right. No,
see it there.
DJ, you still play with your hand. Come on. Okay, right, we've got the third member. Introduce yourself, sir.
Yeah, what's going on? It's Penguin here from the Wall of Comedy. Percy is also a name.
He meant pussy old, but he's got wrong.
You have to swear on this.
Yeah.
It's FUBAR. Do you know what FUBAR stands for?
What does it stand for?
Now you say it.
Have a guess.
Fuck you, bitch.
All right.
It stands for fucked beyond all recognition.
Mm-hmm.
It is
really something mad like that.
Look at the logo. Guess what that is?
That's a middle finger.
Oh, that is a middle finger.
This is the best station ever.
That's what I'm saying. Fuck the FUBAR.
Oh my god.
So Fubar, do I get a chair?
Yeah, we will find you a chair.
We sold it.
Oh, we sold the chair.
Yeah, one second. I'm going to get one for you. Just a little chair.
So guys, as well as doing YouTube and Facebook and all this stuff, I hear that you actually have an actual movie coming out in the production line as well.
Indeed, we do.
Yes, we do.
Like an actual movie.
An actual movie, like an actual film.
Is it the same characters or is it...
No, completely different characters. The film is called The Weekend Movie and it's about a group of friends. They find... Well, this group of friends specifically are not really used to kind of being in money and being popular or being having any attention, really. And
not
they
like
find...
Used,
yeah, yeah, we, you know, that's the good thing about being an actor. You can play as far away as
you
want.
That's like complete polar opposite, isn't it?
And yeah, these characters find 100 grand and their lives change over a weekend. But whose money was that? Watch it and find out.
Santa Claus.
Maybe.
I'm just putting a guess in there.
It could be. Okay. The Tooth Fairy. Maybe.
Did they spend it all? Or they try and spend it all? They don't save it, open up an ISA, think about going to an investment banker.
None of that.
You know,
this
stock
is the thing.
Shares.
See, the messaging of films nowadays needs to change.
Right? It should. You know, the whole coding of films nowadays is just all wrong.
It is.
Oh, well. Well, if you're young and you found 100 grand, you are not going to invest no shares. I know that. So it sounds like a really fun movie, guys.
Cool.
I cannot wait to see it.
Did you write it or was it?
No, we didn't write it. We had great input in it. And, you know, a lot of flexibility and the trust of the director and of the writers, which,
cool.
Yeah. So
who directed it?
It was directed by Sheridan Myers. And it was the story was by Kojo.
Big up Kojo
and
Sheridan.
Kojo the comedian.
That was so passionate. Yeah, big up Kojo and Sheridan.
Enunciate on the radio.
I like that. It sounds real fun. So were you allowed to ad-lib some of the lines? Because, you know, like, some people are quite precious, you know, especially Kojo being a comedian, he will have his timing, like, bang on and stuff like that. So are you allowed to play with the script in any way? Or was he like, no, that's not where the laugh comes?
Yeah, do you know what it is? Like, when you're funny...
Mm-hmm. I was a straight-up diva. Fubar stands for honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they just said, you know, you guys are funny. So there was a lot of trust, to be honest. It could have been different, you know what I mean? But Kojo was like, look, the reason why we wanted you guys to play these characters is because we want to bring your flavour to these characters. And that meant, you know, us bringing our input and, you know, making what was funny funnier.
Yes.
And
brilliant.
You have to understand, Kojo's a comedic genius.
Yeah,
man. You know, so when we were at work, you know, very often you'd see shock in his eyes because he was witnessing magic every time.
Magic.
Mm-hmm. Look at him.
Magic.
I like you. You're David Blaine up in the room. Look at you. He's like David Blaine. This is Houdini, yeah. You know what I mean? Yay. I like that.
Be smart, brother. Don't get too smart, brother. Cause I bust your clock, brother. Be smart, brother. Don't get too smart, brother. Cause I bust your clock, brother. Most them brothers ain't real though. Coming too fake like a dildo. City with a flow, I'm ill though. Said I wanna flew, but I'm dildo. Talking better, keep it lit, sildo. Living greedy, you can really get killed though. Don't talk, don't care how you feel though. Give my hand in the money, I got filled though. Yeah, I got skill though. Skill till I come right next to chill though. I already know we never gonna get real close. When the whole damn thing, I'm a real boss. I take risk though. Risk them boy, better know no Frisco. Frisk getting on my wrong side, you're pissed off. Pissed off, out of the whip. Pissed off. Be smart, brother. Don't get too smart, brother. Cause I bust your clock, brother. Be smart, brother. Don't get too smart, brother. Cause I bust your clock, brother. Clock in, I be hard like still though. Still ain't settling till I'm at the mill though. If I say I'm gonna get it, then I will though. Make a killing, see me chilling in Brazil though. You fool with they stand still though. Still going uphill, decking Gildo. Gildo? On a real though, lick a hate tar in the face with an elbow. Flow hotter than hell though. Hell, shooting gotta run to my scroll though. Everything blessed, everything swole though. Don't make me vex, so I wanna yell though. I'm on a road though. If I get any colder, I'm at snow though. Any funny business, logo. No head chopping pizza, go. Be smart, brother. Don't get too smart, brother. Cause I will bust your clock, brother. Be smart, brother. Don't get too smart, brother. Cause I will bust your clock, brother. Man, I got fast though. Think you're a done, you're an arsehole. Most of them spitters won't last though. I'll be in a whole nother class though. I swim with the sharks, bro. Animal squashed up in the ark though. Might be hench, but you ain't smart though.
high in the crypto. I keep going like a reload of clip though. You talk them brother ain't shit though. Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I bust your clock, brother.
Your clock, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I bust your clock, brother.
Your clock.
You're listening to the best of Johanna James and Noel Clarke on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, welcome everybody. It's Johanna James.
And TJ, a.k.a. Teach World.
Filling in for Noel Clarke today on Back Row and Chill.
Yes.
It's Friday.
Oh, wow. Thank God it's Friday. Friday. We might have to get that tune on today. Ooh, get that Friday feeling kick-started. yeah.
You've had coffee today. Or something.
Johanna. That's how rumours start, you know.
That is how rumours start. Me. Well, I know. We are going to play, finally, you're going to play your Kent Jones interview.
Oh, yeah.
TJ, because I'm so excited to hear about this. Right, so here we go. It's a bit of Kent Jones.
I'm TJ. Nice to meet you.
I already know.
As you know, obviously, your song got to number one in the US hip-hop charts, right? And it stayed in the UK charts for about 6 weeks, which is like... Man, that's fucking amazing, yeah?
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. I bloody love that song, by the way. When you found out that it was at number one, how did you celebrate? What was the first thing you did?
I was in the studio.
What did you do, though? Like, take me there. What did you do?
What did we do?
What was you doing?
I don't know.
Did you get a phone call? Or
yeah.
How did you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Khaled, me and Khaled talked about it.
Yeah.
But as far as the celebrate thing, did I celebrate that? Yo, cool. Did we celebrate that? Niggas was in the studio, right?
Okay, cool. That's your manager there?
You know who that is?
I can't see my glasses.
Who Kool & Dre is, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Shut up!
Yeah, it's a legend.
Of course I know!
Yeah.
Oh my God, sorry. Mate, you know what? You ain't celebrated the number one. Call me, you. We're going to go celebrate the number one.
I like that.
Yeah? Because you ain't celebrated. So I'm going to make that happen for you. I care.
We had that district tonight.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to make that happen just for you. All right. So yeah, congratulations on that. I think it's absolutely epic that, you know, and you know, be in the top 100 in the Billboard as well. I mean, it's like, it's just wow. But also, I want to ask you, in that song, you speak a few languages and stuff like that. Are you bilingual by any chance?
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
Okay, then. So if you could speak another language, what language would you speak?
Sarcasm.
That being your first language and your first option?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
We do a film show. If you could do a film or be in a film, one, what kind of genre would the film be? Okay. And what would that film be called?
That's funny. Kent Jones definitely got his first movie offer for real. It's funny you say that.
Yeah.
The type of movie I would want to be in, though.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, I want to be in this one, too. Let's not get that wrong.
Yeah.
I want to be in the movie.
Can you tell us what it is,
but
the film?
If I were to, we'll talk about it.
All right, cool.
If I were to choose a movie, it would be either between like a house party.
Yeah.
A Friday.
Yeah.
Or like I said, I want to do the horror movies, but I want to play the villain.
Oh, really?
Yes, I make a real good, crazy.
Yeah?
Yeah, hell yeah.
What kind of villain would you be? My favorite horror villain is Freddy Krueger. Who's yours like? Who's your favorite horror villain?
I'm more like the Joker slash... Kingpin from Daredevil.
Damn! That's a new kind of mix of horror villain.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. We need to make that happen. All right, then. So myself as Freddy Krueger and you as the Joker slash Kingpin. Tarantino, if you're out there, you know, make that happen. We're ready. We're ready.
Yeah.
All right? So you like Earth, Wind & Fire, of course, right?
Love
Earth, Wind & Fire, as we know. Okay. So I wanted to ask you, if you could be a superhero, okay, right, and you could have a superpower and you control one thing, would it be Earth, Wind, or Fire? Which would you control?
Light.
So what would that come under? Would that come under Earth?
That's
fire.
It's one of the, I mean, it's an element on its own.
It's an element.
That's the element they never added. It's the actual, seriously, the actual core elements are Earth,
wind,
fire, and light.
Yeah. And so you'd be light.
Yes.
So you just took my question and just fucked it all up. You fucked up the whole thing straight.
It's all good.
I like that. All right. That's good. You've given a lot in your interviews today.
Yes.
You've given us a lot of things. People have been interviewing you all day. So you've given a lot of yourself and you've given a lot of yourself to the world because you make such great music and you give so much enjoyment to many people and millions across the world.
Yes.
Right? So I'm wanting to give you something.
Okay.
In return. Some fun facts about yourself that you never knew about yourself.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I like to call this segment, Does Kent Jones Know?
First fact about yourself is Kent is a county in UK, just outside of South London.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Second fact about yourself is Kent Jones is actually a real estate agent in the UK in a place called Wrexham. Uh-huh. The website is www.kentjones.co.uk. So if you're thinking about buying property, possibly, you know, you might get some free property. You might
want to
drop them, do you know what I'm saying? So they're using your name, kentjones.co.uk, holler them or whatever. That's another fun fact about yourself. And the third fun fact about yourself is that you share the same second name as a great superhero, Superman, Clark Kent.
Yes.
Hey, there you go. So that is that's fun facts about yourself. There you go. Do you feel like you know yourself a bit better now?
Yes. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Okay. So I want to ask you, what is your favorite film?
It's hard.
Or top three?
Top three. All right, that's better.
Go on,
that's a little better.
Let's do that. Let's whack
it. We got The Sixth Man.
Okay.
Featuring Marlon Wayans and Kadeem Hardison.
Oh, I need to go watch that. Okay, we need to watch that. We need the trailer. We need to go back. Okay.
I think my Sweet Valentine or something like
that. My Sweet Valentine. Is that a rom-com?
It's a horror movie.
A horror movie?
Yeah.
Oh, is it the first 3D?
That's the guy that was in the mime.
Yeah.
And they were going and digging. And he was killing people. Yeah.
Oh, snap. Shit.
The graphics on that is incredible.
Yeah. Dope.
All the Final Destinations.
Yes. Bro, like, you think, how many ways can they accidentally kill someone?
You know,
and they
incredible.
Think of something else?
Every way.
Like, have you got a favorite Final Destination kill?
My top three kills on Final Destination.
Go.
Was A, when the guy was in the drive through and the truck ran into him and the fan sliced his head in half.
Jeez! Yeah.
And then the other one was when the guy was like, I'm not going to die. At the end, the thing came, split him in half. And I think the last one would have to be when the roller coaster broke.
Yeah,
flew
and then
out
they
of
flew
the
out.
Thing.
Yeah, I think mine's the one when the glass dropped on top of him. I would say.
Ooh,
that was a deep one.
When the
glass smushed.
When the guy was working out.
Yeah.
And the thing came down and smashed his head. That was a good one.
That was a good one as well. But I wanted to ask you this, Jay. Okay, go with me on this little journey, all right? So you're walking through the desert, yeah? And as you're walking through the desert, you stumble upon this magic lamp, okay? This magic lamp gives you one wish, and you can bring back any music artist to work with from the past, who's sadly left us now. Who would you bring back?
If I was rare?
If you was walking through the desert, you stumbled upon this magic lamp, okay? And this lamp gave you one wish, and the wish was to bring back a music artist to put on a record from the dead. You can bring them back and to be on a track with you. Who would you bring back?
It'd have to be Mike.
Boom! I'd say the same damn thing. Yeah. Kent, you've been absolutely amazing. Have you enjoyed the interview?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. Okay, I've listened to your new track. It's absolutely amazing.
Thank
I predict
you.
It for going to number one. If it doesn't, then
I'm
a beat up Mr. Billboard himself or whatever.
It's called.
Okay, I'll do that for you, bro.
We got one.
All
we
right.
Got another one.
Good.
Big shout out to Giggs. You already know it's not going to stop.
Yes.
You won.
There you go. All right, thank you. I've been Teej World on Foodbar Radio, and this has been the amazing Kent Jones.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hola, hola, na. She telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from, no matter to me. She said, hola, come on, star. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, madame. Then she said, sabase. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, come on, star. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, madame. Then she said, sabase. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go. You know I love them all. African American, for sure. I told her, baby, come and ride the rodeo. Every time I come around, man, I go for broke. She give me desktop till I overload. Now, baby, you gon' go where you're supposed to go. Cause I ain't got time for you every day. She said she got a man, keep it on the low. I said he don't speak English, the fuck he gon' say? Hey, telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson
that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from. No matter to me, she said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mara. Then she said, sabate. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mara. Then she said, sabate. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She from Africa. But she fuck me like she Haitian. Ass black, but the miles looking Asian. I gave her the can in Kansas. I got it on tape. She on candy camera. Okay, see, I forgot we met at Oklahoma. I used to smoke Regina. She from Arizona. Then I met a girl in Cali, I never disown her. She got that high grade, her weed come with diplomas. I want her, but she keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from, no matter to me. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mara. Then she said, sabate. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mara. Then she said, sabate. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mara. Then she says, I pass it. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mara. Then she says, I pass it. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all.
You're listening to the best of Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
I'm Johanna James and I'm here with
Maria
and
Natalia.
Just so we can explain to all my listeners on the radio show, you're a member of Pussy Riot. Yep. And you're a founding member of the
Belarus Free Theatre. Pussy Riot, it's much more easier to pronounce than Belarus Free Theatre.
Yeah. in England people know the word pussy more. For people who don't know what you are and what you do, do you want to just quickly explain to people why you're in London right now?
We are back to a theatre, Soho Theatre, from where we started in the UK in 2008. Mm-hmm. We brought our two productions, Bin Harold Pinter and Generation Jeans, and it was the last public appearance of our patron Harold Pinter. And it was absolutely unforgettable time in this particular country. In that moment, we came living in Belarus. This moment, my husband and me and our partner, Vladimir Shcherbin, were political refugees in the UK, but our actors continue to work underground in Belarus. And Masha is our special guest who was underground in Belarus, right?
Yes, so we are here because we are doing a show, Burning Doors, on this stage, you probably see. So it's our first collaboration.
And it's your first ever debut show.
And my first time on the stage, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it talks about three artists. Masha, Piotr Pavlensky, who is number one contemporary artist in Russia, who was released in June, and Oleg Sentsov, Ukrainian filmmaker, who got 20 years in jail, and he served only 2 years.
And so for people who don't know, who maybe think it's a play, it's more of like a performance piece, like a protest piece?
Complicated, multi-layered.
Multi-layered, yeah. So
it's a physical theater, it's a psychological theater, it's a lot of understanding of where we have limits of our body and our mind.
The show is in Russian, but it has subtitles. Everybody can see it.
I had heard of Pussy Riot before, like in the news, and it was on my kind of circle of knowledge, but I didn't understand what they were until I properly Googled it and like looked you up, because I thought, like many other people, that you were a band, which is not true. So we want to make sure that everybody understands what Pussy Riot is, and it's not a band. And
no, it's a punk collective, actually.
Yeah, collective.
Punk collective, which is doing political art. The story is very easy. When President Putin decided to go third time to president's chair, yeah, we start our, let's say, activities, mm-hmm, in Russia, after one of them, which was in the so-called cathedral in Moscow. We were put into prison for 2 years, yes, two of us, me and Nadia. And after that, we were released and we started Human Rights Project. And now we helping other prisoners succeed several times. For example, we were providing a lawyer to Peter Pawlenski, who is one of the characters, let's say, of this play. And also we are doing art projects. So this is one of them. For me, it's a chance to firstly show the very inside of my prison experience.
Yeah, so 2 years you were inside for standing up for yourself, essentially.
Yes, but also to reflect and to show some parts of my story which I think most problematic.
So do you play yourself in the performance?
I am myself.
Yeah, and you are yourself. Yeah. You're performing as yourself. Does it make you super emotional?
It's better actually to see, because it's a little bit hard to be like inside and outside. It's a little bit schizophrenic feeling.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. Like I'm playing me and...
me like everywhere, and it's very strange. One of the goals of this performance is to show what can happen if you're doing a... if you're doing political art, and one of goals is free Oleg Sentsov, who actually had just like, think, 20 years of prison for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
20 fucking years.
Yeah.
In Russian prison means death, actually. He's now in the middle of Siberia, in the mostly total isolation.
He's still there?
Yes, he's okay. There. That part of the play, which is dedicated to Sentsov and reflects Sentsov's situation, it's what Natalia called physical theater, but for my opinion, it's feelings of the actors, how they understand tortures, how they understand all this pressure which everybody actually have on the body when he go to prison.
My radio show is all about entertainment and movies and TV show and Netflix, and we were asking,
Netflix.
Yeah, and I read up about you and said, oh, you were on a Netflix show, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Well, what show were you on?
Cars of Cars. It's
that's a huge American Netflix show. And you were, yes, playing yourself in the show as well?
We were us as Pussy Riot.
That's really cool though. So do you watch Netflix?
I watched House of Cards.
Do you have a favorite movie, each of you?
I'm really like to watch movies, but I like classics. I like Odyssey 2001.
Oh yeah, Space Odyssey 2001. Uh-huh. Cool. Sci-fi girl.
For me, it's documentary film. It's called Winter on Fire.
Okay.
It is about Ukrainian events that happened a few years ago when many people got killed. So it's very powerful.
Winter on Fire. Okay.
It's in English. It will make a huge difference if you watch it and come to see this particular show. It's about young people, how they defended freedom. And I think it's exactly about what is almost lost under democracy when a young generation doesn't value that particular luxury as a democracy that you have. And in our countries, young people go to jails for that. So watch it.
Yeah.
And it will be a great experience.
Well, thank you so much, because I think that this is a really great show, bringing the heart of London. You're bringing your stories from the other side of the world. And I think more young people should go and check it out. And
come. You never saw anything like that.
And so how long does the show go on till? Till the end of September?
Till the 24th of September.
In London.
And then we go to Falmouth, Manchester, Portsmouth and Dartington. And then Italy and Australia. So if you have audience there... then definitely. And New York next September.
Amazing. Well, thank you for taking 5 minutes to speak with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shaking up the major labels. Vagina girl. is. Go down like you know what dome is. Whoa, now, man, I'm losing focus. But JJ on Hocus Pocus. Don't act like you don't know this. Girls running like US Open. Throw a fit right now. Put up a fist right now. Cause you the shit right now. CEO, no rookie. From senator to bookie, we run this shit, go looky. You could turn any page, any race, any age. From Russia to the States, we tearing up the place. I rip shit like Sinead O'Connor. I wear my badge, it's a badge of honor. I take pride in the way we rise. One love to Maya Angelou, the eighth world wonder. How we do it all, sometimes I wonder. I could play nice, so I could bring that thunder. So sad I gotta end right here. But this vagina gotta go make them numbers.
The best of Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Back Row and Chill. I'm joined today by Ozzy Azaki. Ozzy Akili. Oh, man.
You got it right the other time. It's fine.
I know I did. I was like, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to remember. And I didn't.
Ozzy Azaki's quite cool, man. I like that.
I'm going to call you that now. Mr. Azaki. Maybe yes. Because we were just briefly talking about Japanese films. it's on the mind. But anyway, thank you so much for being my co-host today. You're filling in for Noel Clark, who is filming in Berlin. Right, we're going to go on to a phone interview with our second guest today. It's Remy Vaughan Richards, who's a director of a guerrilla-style music documentary called Faji Agba. I hope I've got that right. So Remy hopefully is on the phone. Let's see if she is on the line. Remy, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. Hi. I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, you Hello. Are live on the radio. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for calling in. We would like to hear a little bit more about your documentary, which is currently it's screening a part of the BFI's Black Star season. Is that right?
Yes, Beyond Nollywood, the subsection of that, yes.
And
okay, so basically, it's a film that took me like 6 years to make. I started off as a pet project, just following a friend of mine who brought these master musicians together. I started following them, and over the course of the 6 years, kind of their lives and deaths unfold, and they kind of chart the history of music and culture of Lagos from 1940s to present day 2015, really. Mm. It's a labor of love, self-financed, everything.
Oh, wow.
It was very much, it is kind of guerrilla style, it's kind of raw. But yeah, it was a passion project.
No, totally. And so you, over the 6 years, how many times did you go out?
I get phone calls. I mean, they were rehearsing. They managed to go to, they were invited at some point to go to America in 2011. I started in 2009.
Okay.
And then in 2011, they were invited to Prospect Park, Brooklyn's music festival. So whenever they did rehearsals, I get phone calls, rehearsing now, Kunle was there, we're rehearsing now, come get your stuff. So I just gather my equipment and rush there. But I was always there, sort of, in between work, my paying work. I'd always be hanging out and finding out where they were and just sit with them and follow them around. And, you know, so I can't really say, because I look back at it now and I'm thinking, how the hell did I do that? I don't even know how I did it.
Dedicated.
I don't know how I was there on time. I don't
That's
know how I managed to film, you know, the one part in America where one of them dies on the plane and I'm there when the phone call. I mean, I just happen to be there all the time somehow. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, just, well, no, not.
That's really impressive.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. Amazing story. And the characters as well of these musicians, and they've got fantastic names as well. My favourite is Fatai Rolling Dollar.
Fatai, he's the most character. He's the one that most people know about because he became, Kunle, we discovered him early on, and he's the one that got most profile. He's a real, he marketed himself very well. He's a complete character. So he's the one Nigerians know straight away, and he was a fantastic character, really very young spirited, still having wives at the age of 80 something, and having allegedly his children. We don't know if they're really his children, but you know, he was still dancing around, still smoking lots of weed, still living the life of rock and roll. It was an awesome character.
What a rock star. Call him Rolling Dollar Rockstar. Amazing. So was this the first documentary that you'd attempted to make, or was it?
This is my first passion project.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of make documentaries as a living in Nigeria, but this was the one that really caught me. And like I say, it wasn't meant to be a documentary at first. I was just recording it, and then somehow it kind of, the more you get into something, the years later, stories do unfold, and then they start to talk about the history of Lagos, the music scene, and realize their place. They were kind of forgotten heroes. They were the people that were, before people that became very big, I don't know if you know Ebenezer or Bale, those really big people, they employed him as a, to carry instruments, and then he's like one of the major characters in the music scene. So they were like people that, they weren't known, but they had a strong place in the history. It's kind of strange how they didn't get, never quite made it, but they were fundamental in creating other people.
And how did you get it from, so you created it on your own, and then how did you get it into, sort of associated with the BFI?
Well, it's Nadia Denton. She was doing this series called Part of Black Star, Beyond Nollywood. And I guess someone must have told her about it, because it's done the circuit. It got awarded for this African Magic Viewers' Choice Award. It got voted for Best Documentary. I entered it for festivals. It's played in some parts of the world already. I even showed in Finland. Greenland requested it, bizarrely. And I don't know how Greenland... Anyway, it's shown in Spain. It's shown at the New York African Film Festival.
Oh, wow,
it's been doing the festival
circuit.
Yeah,
it's getting round.
Yeah, yeah.
And are you still in contact with, I mean, I know a lot of them have passed away now, but are you still in contact with some of the band and the guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, out of the old boys, there's only one left. Very sad.
But you have.
And my tragedy is, because this is self-financed and we haven't got funding bodies like you have in England and Nigeria, you know, so everything's down to you. And I wanted to, whatever money I get or got, I would give a percentage back to them. You know, it's kind of sad, really, because I would love to give them. There's only one left, and he's always saying, "Remy, give me some money, give me some money." I think, you know, I'll give you, if I get anything from this project, you're always going to get a percentage. I mean, I did manage to get sponsorship towards the latter end to do the post-production through a private oil company in Nigeria and the Goethe Institute and another individual. They helped me with the post-production. And I got an airline to fly me to New York to follow them there. So I did get some, but after I shot everything, pretty much when everything was kind of done, and I gave them, the guys, some money out of anything I got. So yeah, it's sad, really. It's sad. They all died not seeing the film ever.
Oh no.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh well, at least they're documented now forever. Yeah. And you've got that.
Yes.
Yeah, and then their next generation of family will have that as well. And
yes,
so what's next up for you? Have you got any other sort of films or documentaries that you want to get your hands into?
Passion projects are kind of weird because you don't find them, they find you. So I'm still waiting for another one to hit me. Meanwhile, I'm working on some feature films, some sort of lowish budget to kickstart my drama side of me. As far as documentaries, I'm doing a series in Nigeria. This time I've been paid
for
an individual. Again, it's all the individuals in Nigeria. He's doing a series on the birth of contemporary arts in Nigeria, because there wasn't any contemporary arts in Nigeria until the British came and then established a sort of established form of art school. So they all died. They're in their 70s, 80s. So I'm doing a series covering them before the main ones die. Modern contemporary artists in Nigeria, I guess. So I'm doing a series on them. But that's not a passion project. It's kind of passion at the same time, but it's not like I'm using my own money, I'm being paid to do this. So I'm not as free to do what I want. I have to follow the client's format. But it's a great project.
And where would people, if people are interested in seeing the music documentary, how could they go about seeing that? Because obviously it is screening at the BFI. On the South
Back my challenge, you know, I didn't like this is a passion project. So I didn't think about the whole marketing and blah blah blah, because you know, as one normally you should think about your marketing straight away when you do a project. This was never done really for the money or for the So that's my challenge now, apart from doing festivals, and again, got to try and raise funding, because again, to produce DVDs and get it online. So it's down to funding. Everything's down to funding.
Mm.
Everything has to be self-financed. So I'm at the, looking for funding to create the DVDs at this stage. So I don't know, really. Not yet. This is my challenge, right? Three.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Remy, for giving us your time. And thank you for all the crazy hard work on this film.
Thank you very much. Thank
Amazing.
You for inviting.
Standing in a crowded room and I can't see your face. Put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. In my mind I'm running around a cold and empty space. Just put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. Break my bones, but you won't see me fall. Oh, the rising tide will rise against them all. Oh, darling, hold my hand. Oh, won't you hold my hand? Cause I don't wanna walk on my own anymore. Won't you understand? Cause I don't wanna walk alone. I'm leaving this, there's no denying. I'm leaving this, you stop me falling. I'm leaving this, I need you holding. I'm leaving this, so darling, hold my hand. Soul is like a melting pot.
It's Johanna James, and today I'm joined by...
What? It's a Wagwan in a Mandem!
Nick Nevin is back on the show!
He's an owl. Just couldn't live without me, could ya?
I couldn't. Well, you guessed it on the show a couple of weeks ago, and
yeah.
Went down really well. We're like, let's get you back on.
Well, you know, I was only slightly less hungover this time than I was last time, so it should be slightly better.
What level of hung are you?
Ladies.
And we have Aaron Unknown in the studio. Woo! So, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
So your song was on the Brotherhood soundtrack, the Brotherhood movie.
Yeah. Which still can't really believe that. But
yeah. How did that come about? How was it? Did you get your song on there?
It was actually kind of spontaneous. It was actually around this time last year.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the film was being made.
Oh God, it was a whole year ago we made the film, wasn't it?
It's mental.
That's a whoa.
Good organisation, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was actually out with Jamal Edwards, Halloween. It was Halloween time.
Yeah.
And he introduced me to Jason. Again, obviously, I recognised him from previous films and stuff, but. Obviously, I didn't know.
Probably the Hooligan Factory, mate. You know, you might recognise someone else from that film as well. Not too far.
What's going on?
So you bumped into Jason Mazza.
Yeah, and then basically, obviously, I was a bit shy back then. So Jamal was like, "Oh, play the tune." I was like, "Nah." And Jamal actually played the tune. He was actually in an Uber on the way to somewhere. I don't even know. He was like, "Wow, like I got to show this to Noel." So obviously, he passed it on. Again, I didn't know anything like that was going on, and then Jamal was like, "Yeah, they're going to put it in a film." I was like, "What?"
I think
my voice actually went like,
"Yeah,
like,
what?"
Yeah. Obviously, I've looked up to Noel like from a kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I was a teenager when Kiddo had first come out. Do you know what I mean? And obviously Doctor Who and things like that. But
he's a legend, mate.
Yeah, it's kind of like sinking in as I'm saying it again. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God, I'm in a movie. That's
like
cool.
Massive opportunity. So,
because I've seen some of your stuff on YouTube.
Okay, what do you think?
Very impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think I saw maybe one of your. I think it was like the top video that comes up is like you're the first time.
Yeah.
That you're ever.
I think that's more because of the views as well. It's on quite a lot of views at the moment, but.
How many views have you got? Is it
1.6 million?
Oh,
you never ask. Ask a man about his views. Like,
you heard my voice. I was just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's impressive. You should be like 1.6 million.
It is amazing. I should. I'm just a humble guy, but nice.
You're humble. It's nice.
That seems to be the video that pops up first, which is obviously good because it's the first one, so people can kind of like follow the journey. But I mean, I haven't really released much, so that's like the next step, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad that I can kind of talk about what's going to be happening with that.
Yeah, so what are you doing?
I don't have any dates, but I have got a project undergoing now, like a five-track EP, basically.
Okay.
And that's going to be a concept EP about the two sort of sides of my life, which is the fashion industry and now, like, the music industry.
Because you modelled before. Yeah,
well, I still do. That's what...
Sorry,
I've just come from
you were a model.
Today.
There
we go. Yeah. That's my day job. That's what... Yeah.
Nick's a model too.
For really fat, overweight people eating lots of pies.
There's a market for all of us.
I am the poster boy. It's really... I'll tell you what, guys, it's really terrible because I'm sitting here with two bloody good-looking people. It's really upsetting me now, so... Oh, yeah, we're just a couple of models. Jamming with a couple of models. Well, I don't know about Joanna, but, you know...
I've modelled a little bit.
Yeah, I
did a catwalk once when I was 16.
What brand was it?
It was for a hair... George by Asda. It was... Fuck off. It was a Salon
International.
Commercial
clients. No.
I know, I just realised that as I said it. I was just like, God damn it, she's probably rich as well. Rich and beautiful, damn it.
No, what happened was I got scouted when I was like 16. I pretended I was 18 and so I could go on the catwalk. And it was for like Salon International, it was for one of the big hair brands. Like,
what, is there an age restriction for that?
Yeah, there was an age restriction, yeah. And so I went on the catwalk and there was five of us. We were told before we had to strut down. And at the end, we had to get in a formation and pose to like the media and do like
choreographed.
Exactly. But me, I'll get to the end, all the other people go left, me go right. And
but that's it now, but you're setting the trend that you're standing out then, do you know what I mean?
Why
be a sheep? You know
it
what
was
mean?
Obvious, I was on the wrong side of the stage. And then I had
why
to...
Why be a sheep? It's like, do you know what I mean? No, it's true, mate.
That's it, you get spotted. That way, otherwise you're just another sort of.
But I had to make a decision when I was posing. I was like, how do I get over there? So I just started to slowly move across the stage. That was the last time I ever went on a catwalk. I was like, I fucked it. That's fine.
I love it.
But
I love that.
Oh, we got a couple of emails in, so I thought let's just like open that. Okay. There's a lot of stuff. All right. It says. Listening from
There's a lot of hate mail for me. Is there?
A lot of Nick hate mail. No, a lot of Nick love mail. There's listening from Texas. Is Nick's nail still painted? What's that about, Nick?
Nail or nail like?
No, last night on my Snapchat, some chick painted my nails like, in some part.
Just one? Or?
Just one, just the pinky. I shit myself. I didn't want to go through the whole thing, you know what I mean?
What colour?
It has to be
red.
Pink.
Red. It was proper like, you know, mm-hmm. it was like, not like yours, but like red. Slightly lighter than that.
Lit
but
red.
Yeah, lit red. Yeah, I look like Pretty
Gosh.
Woman.
Gosh. It says, so people are nuts for Harambee. They even have a thing called Dicks Out for Harambee. They do online. It's like a salute to Harambee. It's called Dicks Out for Harambee.
Okay.
Right. Do you know who Harambee is?
No.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
You hear that? Oh, right. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Like sort of. Yeah, yeah.
That was you on Google, wasn't it? Oh,
don't,
yeah,
don't
right.
Google dicks out.
Siri, what? Who the fuck's Harambee? Yeah, Harambee. No, I'm joking.
So, Harambee.
No, you're not. You don't know. Apparently, well, no, I know now. I can inform you. Harambee is that gorilla who got shot.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no. So
now
I do
you know.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I didn't know either, mate. Don't worry.
So why do you have to know?
Oh, right. Okay, I get it.
They're kind of a bit like Marmite with Harambee. You're either dicks out or you don't know.
Or dicks in.
Or dicks in. You know, that's a bit weird. Okay.
I like the next question, though, on that.
Okay,
on that same
it says, so you two are great. If you're stuck on an island, what's the CD/album you would take? I don't own a CD.
See, that
player.
One's not plural, so that would take me years just to choose.
You've got to take the one album.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wu-Tang Clan, 36 Chambers.
Fair play.
You've thought about this.
Well, no.
He's just revised that
just
question.
Just the best album ever, isn't it?
What if I take one of like the now numbered albums, because you get so many, so you get like four discs, don't you?
Yeah, but then you got to listen to
yeah,
all
but
that.
that's cheating.
That,
no,
it's
a, what CD slash album? So one CD as well. It's one album on one CD. You can't even take like a multi pack.
It's just the one.
That's cheating.
It's just the one.
Could you rephrase your questions better, ladies and gentlemen out
could
there?
You be specific, people.
That's just me.
Oh, does it say who that was from? So, hello, person from them. Who's the presenter with Nick? Hoot. Cool, thanks. hey.
That'd be you, darling.
That's me!
Yeah. Hoot, I think, is a term of endearment.
Is it?
Well, like hoot? Like hoot? Hoot? Like,
oh, lovely. Hey, if you guys had a film about your life, who would play you and what would it be called, from Simon and Hackney?
Well, I'd play myself, wouldn't I?
I was literally about to say that.
Don't know if you know, but I'm quite the actor.
Nick Nevin playing Nick Nevin.
In a Nick Nevin film directed by Nick Nevin.
All right. Who would you get, if you play Nick Nevin in the now, but who would you get to play?
The older Nick Nevin.
Little Nick Nevin and older Nick Nevin.
Little Nick Nevin.
Yeah.
Little Nick Nevin could. Jason could probably play Little Nick Nevin just because he's tiny.
He's tiny.
Like, he could play me when I was like 9.
I'm not involved in this, Jason, if you're listening. Yeah. I didn't say that. I
don't know. Aaron, what about you? Who's someone who's going to play, you know, because obviously when you blow up and become the world's best star, who's going to play Aaron Unknown?
I like that name, by the way. That's a great rap name. By
I'm actually in the process of writing a lyric about that.
Yeah,
it's actually, there's a lot of people that, there was a lot of speculation in the comments about, of course he came up with that name there, and then like that was legitimately what happened. I was there with Jamal. It was an organic moment. I was with Jamal and
another artist
called Proton, and literally we were just there talking, and as we was talking about it, Jamal just started rolling like the film. And then,
you were a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
I could see you were a little bit nervous. And you were talking about, what's the name, though?
Like, so, because we had like a couple of options, and it was always going to have Aaron in it. But, can I speak about
the alliteration?
Do you know that? What's it called? Is it abbreviation?
Yeah.
So, unknown. No, it's an acronym, that's it.
Right.
So, unknown is under new knowledge, now overcoming world negativity. So, it's like. It's going to be like a whole movement around that. It's not just going to be music. It's going to be positive events. Like,
love that, bro.
I'm going to start doing
love that, bro.
That is amazing.
Love that, bro.
Obviously, where I've got strong ties within the fashion world, possibly a brand, but that'll be like later on.
Unknown.
I'm not trying to
run
before I could walk, you know what I mean?
Shirt.
But for now, it's just getting music out. So
I will catwalk your stuff.
Yeah.
I promise.
Just don't go the wrong way, because I'm not paying you otherwise.
Amazing. So, but who would play you? What kind of actor would play you?
To be fair, I don't know.
Not sure. I don't.
I'm quite like my own person. I don't know. Like, I don't think there's anyone.
I'd want to play me.
Unique in that sense. I don't know.
But I think.
Sorry, can I just say that I said that first, and now they're both saying the same question. They're both saying the same. Nick Nevin, the trendsetter, ladies and gentlemen. Who would play you?
Okay.
Myself.
All
and
right.
Now they're both saying, yeah, I think I'd do a good job myself.
I also would love Jennifer Lawrence to play.
Good luck with that, love. I mean, no.
It's my movie, Nick. No, anyone can.
That was. a bit harsh, actually. Sorry,
no, no, Jennifer Lawrence. Well, she's a bit weird, isn't she?
And she's a bit kooky and a bit out there.
I'm on the weird side of...
on the weird list.
Yeah, so that would be it. Thank you, Simon from Hackney. Okay, when someone says, who would win in a fight between Nick and Harambe from Dick?
Well, unfortunately, Harambe's passed away.
Dead, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, so I'm going to say
fighting
me.
Fighting like his spirit.
I don't know, I think I'm still going to go for dead Harambe.
Oh, guys.
That's a liberty. That's a liberty.
Rest in peace. Let's just have a moment's silence.
Fuck Harambe, man. Oh, no. Actually, no, that's a bit out of order. Yeah, I didn't mean that. I just meant fuck Harambe only because... I'm doing a 180. Only because that you said that dead Harambe would beat me in a fight.
Okay, yeah, no, it's true.
That's why I
claim.
Said fuck Harambe.
Oh, okay, all right.
But don't actually fuck Harambe because it's dead and you...
Oh, too low. Oh,
no.
Shut us down. So where do we go now? Where do we go?
See, time in a line is a cycle, guaranteed to come back and bite you. We all reap what is sown, my mind has evolved. Pure love to my fellow disciples, never compare cause we really ain't like them. See, judgment day is coming, so don't try running. Believe it will keep up when the grim reaper is coming to find you. You could be the richest man on the planet but still feel deprived of the loving beside you. And that's why I keep music close to my heart, press art as I witness the sky fall. Is this make believe or reality? This process never see through my eyeballs. So much strain on my brain, man, I can't sleep when the day turns into the night. I'm forever insightful of a place that's ridden with spaceships hidden, no sweetness, I'm billing it idle. And to take what is given is makeshift, living the underdogs, claiming the title. Now I want what is owed, can't do this on my own. From getting paid in a pittance in makeshift Britain to dinners at the peak of the Eiffel. See, I live for the good times. Positive minded, swerving the stress. Ain't one to say you work, no play. And I'm mentally drained, I deserve me a rest through venting my pain. Blessed with a ticket to the levels in the game where I verse with the vets. And so for right now, it's work, work, work till I move mommy out to a further address.
So where do we go now? Where do we go now? They shut us down. So where do we go now? Where do we go?
Isn't it mad how life brings trauma? Somehow convinces for the better. And with the weight of the world on my shoulders, expected to carry on. Though I feel fed up and I keep a smile on my face for the ones that I love. I can't let my mum see a brown letter. Gotta keep faith in the light at the end of the tunnel. From the bottom it can only get better, only get better. But that light for me is my music, getting brighter so I can't abuse it. I'm bigging up Z Dot and Crunchy on this one. My goosebumps ain't a reference to the weather. Rev Rip laid out the laws of attraction for me, and I finally straighten my head up. Time is the real non-reversible change, but they don't teach you that at school cause it's all set up. I've been blessed by my childhood inspirations. SBTV was a pleasure, but why have a name if I can't maintain? So I exert the pain while I'm raising my pen up. Now it's an inquiry to the minority that somehow seem to forget us. How are we funding a war on people instead of cleaning our national debt up? I need to retreat back to a place where I know what it feels like it means to be me. I need to be free out in a jungle surrounded by trees where it's easy to breathe. This concrete jungle is stunting my growth. I could easily leave, although my roots are firmly planted. I can't grow if you're never believing in me.
So where do we go now? Where do we go now? They shut us down. So where do we go now? Where do we go?
It's Friday afternoon, and I'm just so
it's Friday.
I'm buzzing.
It's so good to be Friday.
Welcome to Back Row and Chill. It's Johanna James, and I'm joined today this week again by my co-host.
I'm back, motherfuckers.
Ozzy Achille.
Ozzy Achille. That's
right.
You got it right this time.
It's Achille like the heel.
Yes, like Achilles.
Like Achilles heel.
But with
heel.
An eh in front of it.
Eh. Great, and I'm James with, you know, with a J.
Nice, nice.
Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Charlotte, hello.
Hello, Charlotte. How art thou?
Welcome to the
I'm
show.
Good, thank you.
So we were prepping our listeners to say that you are known, you're known for fresh meat, but many other things as well. And at the moment, you're doing panto, because we're also talking about panto and whether people love it or hate it. Yeah. So, yeah, tell everybody a little bit about the panto that you're doing at the moment.
So, we're doing a panto at the New Diorama Theatre, which is in kind of near Euston, mm-hmm. in London, North London. And it's a take on Dick Whittington, which is the story of the man who became thrice Mayor of London. As
thrice.
In the
thrice, I like
and,
that word.
thrice. And it was actually a true story. He did. It was a real man who became London Mayor three times. Too many times. And I played Dick Whittington, but we call him Ricky Whittington in this version. And it's a sort of anti-panto. It's actually not... It's not a love song to pantomimes. It sort of sends up the pantomime structure.
Mm.
So, yeah, and it's kind of about a young person's experience of London, moving to London from outside of London.
Huh. So, nice. A little bit more...
Yeah.
And as Ricky Whittington, are you cross-dressing? Or are you playing...
I guess I am. I mean... Like, the thing is that I'm not...
You're gender neutral. It's so
trousers.
PC.
Imagine it's 1901. I am cross-dressing. I'm wearing trousers. But now, look, as a normal girl may look. So, yeah, I am playing a man, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few references to that, but it's not kind of a necessary detail. But I am. But it's not tight. It's not like green tights and boots.
Yeah, okay.
With a cropped haircut.
And are there songs so, okay. and things?
Yeah, it's essentially a kind of musical, a satirical musical. It's quite difficult to describe without sort of sounding pompous, but it's a satirical musical,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of singing, and it's as it looks, it's pretty funny, but you never know. Until we get an audience in front of us, we won't know if it's funny, but to us it's funny, and it's great. It's really well written, and the rest of the cast are so, so talented and so good, so... So it should be a good evening out. It's not for children. That's important to emphasise.
Oh, I see. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And so it's in the what was that theatre again that you said it was the near Euston?
The new,
Diorama.
New Diorama.
Yeah.
New Diorama. Yeah. It's just kind of near the hospital at Euston. In case it's so bad, anyone else?
For someone who has like never seen any pantos before, would you recommend this one as a one to compare it to, like a starter panto, as you will, for me?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it would be a shame because I feel it may ruin pantos for you in the future. So if you have a desperate desire to see a pantomime, don't see this one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I think I've only seen one pantomime, and I know, like, the other day I had to explain to my Australian housemate what all the like typical things that happen in a pantomime are.
Yeah.
And as I was describing it, I was like, how is this a thing?
Yeah.
That I just know about. And so he had no idea what I was talking about. So I think it will be fun regardless of if you know the pantomime structure. Like, it's a good show anyway.
Just have a drink and roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a small auditorium. It's like a really small theatre, small cast, and it's just like kind of, yeah, it's just really fun, basically. It's a good Christmas outing.
That's amazing.
Sounds like fun.
And what are you doing outside of the panto world at the moment? Are you doing? Have you got anything planned for next year? Or
I don't. Next year is looking nicely open.
Nicely fresh.
Fun employed. But I've got the new series of Call the Midwife is coming out on Christmas Day. So
oh, I love that.
Nice to
that's
tell
my
people I'm doing.
Yeah.
Even though it's done.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I love Call the Midwife. It's like a family.
Oh.
I watch it. That's my favourite thing on Christmas Day to watch, and it always gets me.
Oh, so
always
nice.
Gets me. It's
is Siblings coming back?
It's not.
Oh.
No. This is our cue to boo the BBC.
This is sad news for me. I actually really like that show. Siblings
oh,
is dope.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's like a particular taste. Some people really hate it. Some people love it. I love it. I think it's great. The characters are really, really awful. So that's
awful in the best kind of way, though.
Yeah, yeah. Liberating.
Do you get more recognised publicly for your character on Fresh Meat, Siblings, or Call the Midwife? Which one do you get most sort of taps on the shoulder for?
It really varies. For some reason, when I look really hungover, I get, like, or like ill, I get recognised for fresh meat. Because I'm really I don't really understand why, and it's always embarrassing. But I did want to have a couple of nine-year-olds come up to me and say, "It's you." And I thought, I can't believe I'm going to let you watch Fresh Meat.
Yeah.
And then I realised it was called The Midwife. So it really varies, actually. Yeah, depending on the age group.
You kind of got to wait for them to say what they know you from.
Yes, I am.
Be that idiot that lists everything I've ever done. And then they realise they just know because I live next door to them.
Come on, now you're going to have that panto. You're going to be like, "You're the girl from that amazing panto." Yeah. That's not a panto.
Exactly. Panto that put me off panto for life.
Oh well, that's really cool. So thank you, because that's I wish I was in a panto this year as well. Now it's got me all like reminiscing about.
I really want to watch one now. We've talked about it so much.
It's so glittery.
There's one on your daughter, guys. One I've just told you about.
No, everyone. So everyone, just to rehash again for our audience, Ricky Whittington and his cat, the new Diorama Theatre. And when does it start? Are you already up, or is it?
No, we're rehearsing at the moment.
Oh, the best of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, so we finish rehearsals in about a week and a half, and then we start about the 12th of or the 13th
of December.
The lucky 13th of December.
Yeah. And running into January.
Till the 7th of January, and it's 8 shows a week, so there's no excuse.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You're going to be like trim for Christmas.
Oh, sure. Oh, I'll be eating that turkey.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Make sure you do all your warm-ups. Oh, well, thank you so much for chatting to us, Charlotte.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Super fun. And all the best of luck. I actually really want to go check that out.
I do want to see it.
We're going to go check you out. Thank you. Well, not you out. The show out. I mean, what?
Both.
Thanks, Charlotte. Bye.
I need to do some this. Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, God, that was a Freudian slip and a half, wasn't it? Whoa, right, I'm not even lesbian, but okay. She is beautiful. She's very beautiful. Right.
She's really good in Siblings as well. I love that show. That show is really... I like binging on old school Netflix shows.
Old school Netflix. Okay, I'm going to go for another song. What am I going to go for?
What is your choice?
I'm going to go for a Pete Townshend song. It's called Let My Love Open the Door, and it's in like 56 million different movies.
I don't think I've ever heard of
it's
this.
It's in Mr. D.
Rom-coms?
Rom-coms. Ah. It's pretty much in every Adam Sandler film.
Oh, really?
You're going to get there.
I should know this one.
Oh, well, we're going to have a boogie to it now because it's like proper cheese 80s, lovely amazingness. Okay, it's Back Row and Chill.